19 is unlike these first two messages. Everybody wants to get to the fruit. And the Lord willing, if He allows us to gather together tomorrow and so allows privileges me to preach, we'll try to say some things about the fruitful truths of John 15. But before the Lord really dealt with those, He laid down some foundational truths and some fatherly truths. We've considered those. And He gave those first so that those 11 disciples that night here in John 15, and so that we could handle the fixed truths that He also lays down in this great, great chapter. So this morning, I want us to again consider from this 15th chapter of John some abiding truths. And for a few moments this morning, I want us to consider some fixed truths. I'll read just two verses this morning, verse 4 and verse 5. Abide in me, and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can ye, except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me, and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. For without me ye can do nothing. And the Lord, for His name's sake, will bless His good word this day. They are in our universe. They are some fixed laws, some fixed truths that have been established by our Creator that cannot be altered and they cannot be broken. The law of gravity is probably one of the most common that we can easily think of. You can go out on top of the building the day if you'd so choose to, and you could try to defy it if you'd like, but you'd not defy the law of gravity long. Their means and methods, maybe a hot air balloon or an airplane or something else, but sooner or later the law of gravity overrules and overrides and proves to be fixed and true. It cannot be broken. It can be proven true, but it cannot be broken. In the vineyard, there are some fixed truths. They are some laws, some principles that the husbandman has established. And they are ones that the husbandman will see to it that they are enforced. In fact, that's why the Lord uses this strong word, except. It literally has the idea of by no means. The Lord is revealing a fixed truth here in these verses. And simply, this is how it is in the vineyard. I know it's not this way in a lot of Baptist churches. I know it's not this way in a lot of lives. But this is how it is in the vineyard. And this is how it is if there's going to be fruit and more fruit and much fruit in our lives. You know, the truth is there are really, really no secrets of the vineyard. There's really, truly no secrets of the vine. You can slap that name secret on a book or a CD or DVD and sell millions of copies and make money. But I want to tell you, there's no secret to bearing fruit. The Lord has laid it all out for those 11 disciples and for you and for me. I quickly want us to ponder some this morning. There is, first of all, what I want to call this truth of dwelling. This truth of dwelling. This entire passage, this entire chapter has to do with dwelling. It has to do with union. It has to do with communion and connection. There's that connection between the vine and the husbandman. There's the connection between the vine and the branches. There's the connection between the vine and the branches and the fruit and the husband and the vineyard. All of it has to do with dwelling. All of it has to do
with union and communion, with continuing, with abiding. In fact, that's what the word itself means again and again in these verses. 8 specifically in number, he mentions to abide, to remain, to continue, because there are some things that are fixed that you and I need to stay with. Now, I mentioned yesterday, this is not, John 15 is not a salvation passage. There are applications from it. Thank God they are. Valid ones, oh yes. I'm glad, hallelujah, if you and I are saved. We are in Christ. If we are in Christ, we are a branch. That is a fixed truth this morning that cannot be altered, cannot be changed, rather. If we're in Christ, we're in the Lord. If we are in Christ, we are a branch. And if we're a branch in Christ, We're in the vine. But he lays out this fixed truth of dwelling. He calls on his disciples here to dwell in him, and specifically, you'll note with me, to dwell in his word. He says there in verse 7, if ye abide in me, and my words abide in you, ye shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. We'll try to deal with that second part tomorrow, but the first part is key. The first part is prerequisite. He says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, that's fixed. If you're going to see answered prayer come to pass, if you're going to know the fruitfulness of answered prayer, there must be a dwelling. There must be abiding in your life in the Word of God. That's a fixed truth that cannot be altered. In verse 10, he says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. Keep not is to abide not. Keep not is to abide not. Oh my, you may still be a branch. You may still even be attached to the vine, but there'll be no fruitfulness come. You'll be outside of the realm of the blessings and the benefits of God's great love. He says, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love. In fact, John on over in 1 John, listen to how he pins it this way. He says, he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. Oh my, David, of all the Old Testament characters, I believe David is the one that so illustrates this New Testament truth and this New Testament principle of dwelling in the Word of God. For if there ever was a man that loved the Word of God and sought to dwell in the Word of God, it's David himself. Oh my, I mean, just listen to a few of David's phrases over here in that great 119th Psalm, all about, in fact, the blessed Word of God. Listen to what he says there in verse 113. He says, I hate vain thoughts. I hate vain thoughts, but thy law do I love. He says, oh my, I love thy testimonies. Over in 127 there of the Psalm, he says this. He says, therefore I love thy commandments above gold. He certainly was not a Baptist, and evidently one from Alabama, but he sure wasn't from North Carolina either. Oh my. He says, I love thy commandments above gold, above all the world has, if you please. Listen one more time, verse 159. He says, I love thy precepts. 163, he says, I hate, I abhor lying, but thy law do I love. Oh, he said, 7 times a day do I praise thee because of thy righteous judgments, because of thy word that I love. Oh my, one more time, he says, I have loved them and I love them exceedingly. Oh my, David said, I love, I love, I love, I want to dwell in the Word of God. And it is a fixed truth. It is a fixed truth this morning that if you and I are going to enjoy the blessings of God, and if we're ever going to get to fruit, don't worry about more fruit, much fruit, you ever going to get to fruit, period, there must be a dwelling in the Word of God. Hear me this morning, the amount, the size, and the sweetness of fruit in your life and mine is in direct proportion to our dwelling in the Word of God. It's a fixed truth. It's a fixed truth. He lays down this principle, this law of abiding, that the Word of God must be that part of our life that you and I must dwell in. We must live in the Word of God. Hey, I'm talking about doing more than reading 3 chapters in the Old and 2 in the New, or reading a Psalm, or reading a Proverbs, or going through a daily bread devotional. No. I'm talking about abiding, dwelling in the blessed Word of God. It is a fixed truth. There is this truth. There is this principle of dwelling. You can have a lot of leaves and not be dwelling in the Word. You can do a lot of faith. You can do a lot of church stuff and not be dwelling in the Word. You can teach Sunday school. You can preach and not be dwelling in the Word of God, but you sure enough can't get it on fruit and more fruit and much fruit and enjoy the vine apart from this fixed truth of dwelling in the Word and dwelling in God. But quickly let me say, there is a second fixed truth. There is this second truth, if you please, of what I want to call discipline. Now, we don't even like to hear the word, the truth be known. I'll tell you, hey, you want to do something good this afternoon? Go home, get out a good Webster's dictionary and just study the definitions of the word discipline. I know a lot of parents it would help. I know some preachers that it would help. I know a lot of church members that it would help. It's really a good word. And the truth be known, it's really not a negative word at all. It's a positive word. It has a positive purpose. Its design is for good. Its design is for help and not for harming. Oh my. And hear me this morning. Behind the whole reason behind the discipline that we find taking place in John 15 is fruit and more fruit and a lot of fruit. Oh my God, help us to see the fixed law of discipline. Now, we tried to magnify yesterday how the Father does some of that. I'll not back up and re-preach that this morning, but I'd remind you this morning, every branch gets the discipline of the husbandman. Every branch gets the discipline of the husband. Hey, I want to tell you, I talked yesterday about Freddie. Freddie ain't ever been over in my yard, trimmed any of my vines, trimmed any of my bushes. That's not his vineyard. But over yonder in his vineyard, he tends to all that. Why? Because every branch gets the discipline of the husbandman. Verse 2, every branch in me that beareth not fruit. See, some of you think, we sometimes think that this discipline stuff, that's just those folks that aren't doing what they need to be doing. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he taketh away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purgeth it. This is a fixed truth of the vineyard. This thing of discipline. In fact, the Lord makes it plain. Every branch receives it. The writer of Hebrews makes it plain. Every son receives the discipline of the Father. And if you receive not the discipline of the Father, it's because you're not a son. You're not a son. And oh my, as the Father there in Hebrews 12 does what he does because of love, as we touched on yesterday, the Father, the husbandman, does what he does because of love as well. Now there are two sides really to this thing of discipline. There is this desire. We do it. We seek to do it, especially as parents, on one side of it to prevent some things, to prevent an action that we don't want to take place from occurring. Or from occurring again, if it has taken place. Through discipline, we seek to prevent. There's another side of this thing of discipline. It's not just to prevent. It is to promote. It is to guarantee some action. It is to guarantee some attitudes. Hear me this morning. I'll tell you, if you're a branch this morning and you're in the vine, I'll tell you what the Father will do. He'll bring discipline to our hearts and discipline our lives so that some attitudes we have, we'll get rid of them and they'll get out of our lives, and that some attitudes will be prominent in our hearts and in our lives. This thing about discipline is all about the well-being of the branch. This thing about discipline is all about the branch being able to be a branch and be a fruit hanger for the fruit. And it's a fixed law. It's a fixed truth. That's how the husband of the vineyard operates. Through discipline he prevents. Through discipline he promotes. Now no discipline, as the writer of Hebrews tells us, no chastisement at that moment is enjoyable. No discipline at that moment is pleasurable. Now I know that's not what the Colgate kid would tell you or some of the other guys and gals. But the Father disciplines His own. It's a fixed truth. It's a principle. Don't miss this now. The amount and the type of discipline depends on what the branch needs and how the branch responds to the vine and the husbandman. Fixed truth. The type, the amount of discipline, it may be a move to prevent, it may be a move to promote. It may be, as we looked at yesterday, to lift up and train. It may be to cut out. It may be to clean back. It may be to clear out. It may be to cut back a little bit. But whatever the discipline, it is directly related to the need of the branch and how the branch responds to the vine and the husbandman, and even specifically to discipline. Remember, the husbandman just doesn't immediately reach and grab the pruning shears, thank God. No. Because see, his discipline has a process, and his discipline has a purpose. I was thinking last night about Saul and David. You know, if you were to list out their similarities, really, if you think about it, there are many, many similarities and truths and attributes that they both share. Both were kings of Israel. Both were anointed by the man, the prophet of God. Both had the Spirit of God come upon them. They had many, many similarities. But if you really want to get down to the real key difference between Saul and David, the real difference is how they both responded to the discipline of the husbandman in their life. Saul resisted the discipline of the husbandman, and David yielded to the discipline of the husbandman. That's why in that same psalm, David's talking about how much he loves the Word of God so much. That's why even in the midst of it, he says, I want to tell you, it's been good that I have been afflicted. It's been good I have been disciplined, for I've learned thy way, and I've learned thy statutes, and I've learned thy truth. Oh, my. David yielded himself to the discipline of the husbandman. And that's why when you go to counting fruit, examining fruit, you find more of it and much more of it in the life of David than you do in the life of Saul. Why? Because it's a fixed truth of the vineyard. That discipline is necessary in the life of the branch. And I'd remind you as well, this thing of discipline, this thing of training, it is a lifetime process. There's only one kind, and you listen to me, there's only one kind of branch that receives no discipline from the husbandman. It's that withered branch that's already been cut off and cast away. Every other branch, whether there is fruit, whether there is no fruit, every other branch gets discipline. The only branch that doesn't get discipline is that branch that has already experienced the ultimate discipline from the husbandman, being cut off, being cast away and laid aside. It is for a lifetime. Hear me this morning, my Lord, greater preachers than me. I know could be preaching from John 15 this week. I'll tell you, I ain't even scratched the surface, but I want to tell you, it'll take more than a lifetime for you and I to get the principles of John 15, but we've somehow got the idea. We can buy that book, we can read that book, we can get that CD, go to that Bible conference, and all that's behind us. No, not just discipline, for it's a part of the life of the branch. A fixed truth. You know, these Olympians that'll begin their stuff next week, most of them have been training their entire lifetime for their event. I read an article in the Observer yesterday about a boy. He's gonna start just as soon as it's over. He's gonna come back and start teaching down at a Christian school in Hickory the next day. In fact, after he swims his last meet, said he's gonna step into another world. That world of discipline, that world of training is behind him. Oh my, I'm glad this morning I'm hooked into the vine. I'm glad this morning I'm just not in a little swim meet. I'm glad I'm in the race for glory and the race for eternity. And as long as you and I are in the vine, as long as you and I are in the vine, this is a fixed truth. Discipline will come your way and my way. He does it in every branch, and he does it as the need of that branch dictates. Some he has to do more severely than others. Some with just one move, just one word, he gets attention. Others, Sunday morning, we've got a couple, they're not able to have children, and they normally bring their nephew to church with them. And during the offering, Chandler decided, I guess he needed to get some water, and he'd go get some water. And he came out in the end of the aisle and went down alongside the wall. And about halfway down, he paused and started to play a little bit with somebody else. And I'm up here on the platform watching all this. And I want to tell you, she gave him that eye. And buddy, I mean, he straightened right up and started on down a little way. I don't know what happened when he got out of my sight, but I do know that she had to move from one end of the pew over here in the middle and come all the way over here to the other end of the pew, and I don't know what it was, but that took care of whatever it was. But listen, she didn't immediately move from that end of the pew to this end of the pew. No, as the need dictated, that's what determined the discipline, the training she was giving that boy. Hear me this morning, it's a fixed principle. That there is discipline. There is discipline in our life. Now listen, you can have grapevines. In fact, I noticed on the way home yesterday, a grapevine I had never even paid any attention to. In fact, I guess I hadn't paid any attention to it because it didn't have any grapes on it, and it had branches going this way and everywhere and every fashion. I'll tell you, you can have a grapevine in your yard. You can neglect it. You cannot give it attention. And you cannot give it adjustment that it needs. And you might have a little cluster of grapes here and there. They might be a few on there. They'd be small at best, and they sure enough wouldn't be sweet. But I'll tell you, the father, I'll tell you, the husband, he doesn't neglect his branches. No, he gives the discipline that they need. Right, quick number three. Don't you know there's this fixed truth of dependence. And really, that's what abiding is all about. And really, that's why the Lord waited to this night when he's about to be betrayed. And their world's about to be turned upside. That's why he waited to this night to talk so intimately about dependence, because he knew they sure enough was going to need it like they never, ever had needed it before. Oh my, there's this fixed law, this fixed truth of abiding. Verse 4 is an imperative. Abide in me. It's not a suggestion. He's not saying this is something I would like to see you do. He says, abide in me. Abide in me. Now don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Don't miss it. Are you caught on? You don't need to miss this. This is a fixed truth. This is a fixed principle. He does not command to produce. It sure enough help us, preachers. We'd quit a lot of mess if we'd realize we've not been called to produce, we've not been commanded to produce. Hey, don't take my word for it. The command is, abide in me. Abide in me. Now, the truth is, really here in John 15, he does not really define what that means. There's answered prayer. There's a prayer life he talks about. We'll try to touch on it tomorrow. There's this principle of dwelling in the Word of God, keeping His commandments. And usually when folks go talking about abiding in the vine, that's all the stuff they mention. But the truth is, really, those things are all products of doing it. Having a prayer life and spending time and wanting to spend time and spending time in this Word and wanting to spend time in this Word. Really, that's a product of already abiding in the vine. So, the truth is really, and you see it different, you help me after the service, but the truth is really, he doesn't define so much what he means by abiding. In this passage, wonder why in the world he didn't. I'll tell you why. He didn't have to. He stopped, as I said on Monday, I believe. He stopped somewhere along the roadside or on the vineyard. I just believe he's got a vine and a branch in his hand. And he said, fellas, remember, he says, I'm not going to be talking much more to you. And the prince of this world is a-coming. We need to get at it. We need to go. And along the way, he holds up that vine. He holds up those branches and says, I am the vine. Ye are the branches. My Lord, you don't need a definition when you got a living picture right there in front of you that night. Oh, my. He doesn't really define it like we wish he would. It'd be a lot easier on preaching if he'd said, now, do this and this and this and do this in this order. No, no, no. He just simply illustrates it with the vine and the branches and with his life himself. He's pointing to a life of dependence. Now, hear me this morning, abiding really is not about activity. It's really about reality. Now, I debated on that. I'm not playing word games. This isn't word games this morning. No, no, no. The truth is, abiding is really not about activity. It's about reality. It's about resting in the vine, being the branch, connected, dwelling in, disciplined by the husbandman and dwelling in the vine, resting, relying in the vine. Remember what we said Monday, the foundational truth. He is the source. He is the source. And when the Lord was calling upon them to abide in the vine, abide in me, he's saying, rely upon me. I will, thank God, provide. As Brother Rick said, oh my, but abide, rest, abide, abide in me. Oh my, I tell you, Paul knew the principles. Paul knew the abiding truths of John 15. It's why there when Paul said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. But then he said, no, not I. Not I, no, no, not I. He said, but Christ liveth in me. That's why Paul says what he says in Philippians 2 when he says, it is God which worketh in you. It's God which worketh in you. Oh, am I to do the will of His good pleasure? Oh, my. Folks used to come. Folks used to come to Brother Adrian Rogers and say, and you preachers have heard it in similar fashion. I know you say, well, preacher, I just want to serve God in my own weak, weak way. Well, Brother Adrian used to tell him, quit! Quit! God's not interested in your weak way. He's not interested in your strong way. He's not interested in your way. In fact, put your seatbelts on this morning. The truth of the matter is, God doesn't want you and me to do anything for Him. He just wants to do everything through us. The husbandman wants fruit, but the husband knows the way he gets fruit is by the branch dwelling in the vine, yielding the discipline of the husbandman, and the vine and the sap of the vine producing fruit, hanging fruit on the branches. Oh my, remind you, he says, without me, ye can do nothing. He doesn't say, I know a lot of Baptists operate rather at least that he said this. A lot of Baptists have the idea that the Lord was saying, without you, I can do nothing. Only thing he can do far a whole lot better with a lot of people other than me. In fact, he can do a whole lot better with angels than he can you and me. But no, oh my, he says, I want you to know, without me, you can do nothing. It's not a big word. It's not a complicated word. No thing. No thing. See, he's calling them, and he's laying down a fixed truth that our life must be dependent. It must be dependent upon Him. I'll tell you, this old flesh doesn't like to abide. This old flesh likes to be busy doing things. We like to be active doing things. That's not what dependence is all about. No. Dependence is about simply resting, relying, being dependent upon the vine. Now everybody's got them books out that's done made far more money than I'll ever hold in my hand. They've done all got their own definitions of abiding, so I wouldn't want to disappoint you this week. I done got my own. Here's what abiding is. Here's what the abiding life is. It is full trust and surrender to the husbandman, and a full receiving from the vine. That's what abiding is. That's what the abiding life is. It's full dependence upon Him. It is full yieldedness to Him. And it is a receiving from Him. That's what abiding is. See, we think it's all this other stuff that we do. It's not. Say, preacher, you got any Bible for it? Sure do. Wouldn't have brought it up if I hadn't. Let's examine right quick. I got my watch. Let's examine right quick two branches. Let's examine which one. Let's see if we can pick which one is the fruitful one. Which one that doesn't really have much fruit at all. One branch is busy serving and is committed to serving. In fact, this branch is so committed to serving, whether anybody else serves or not, they're going to serve. Then we got another branch. It's not that this branch is opposed to serving. It's not that this branch thinks they're too good to serve. But it's that this branch just wants to stay as close as it can to the vine. I'm talking about Martha and Mary in Luke 10. Now, most Baptists would pick Martha as that fruitful one because she's the one doing all that stuff, all that serving. And we'd pick Mary, Lord, to goodness, she's surely that fruitless one. She ain't doing nothing but sitting down. Well, what's the husbandman and the vine got to say about it? Jesus said, Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, but one thing is needful, and Mary hath chosen that good part, don't miss this, which shall not be taken away. Same term in John 15. Oh my, Jesus said, Martha, Martha, you run around, Martha, you concerned about leaves, Martha, you concerned about leaves. But oh my, Mary's chosen the good thing. Mary's chosen the best thing, just to abide, just to receive from me. Oh my, the Lord said of what Mary was doing, it would not be taken away from her. Now, I done told you, didn't need to, I know, I done told you I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. But if he tells Mary what she's doing, and if he tells Martha what Mary's doing, is not going to be taken away. It implies Martha was doing some things that needed to be taken away. Cut back, cut off maybe, cleaned up. See, Martha's focused on doing. She's focused on leaves, if you please. Mary's focused on depending. Mary's focused on truth. There that night, he's holding that vine, that branch. Oh, maybe he compares. I don't know. But oh my, he's illustrating the principle, the fixed truth of dependence. I said on Monday that you and I have to be careful with these parables, with these earthly stories, and you and I can sometimes so delegate something that we think it means that, and that's all it means. I remind you, the Lord Jesus Christ is all these things. He's the true vine. He's the husbandman. He's the fruit. He's the branches. He's every bit of it all together. And if you really want an excellent example of what the abiding life is, just look to Christ. For listen to what he says over in John 8. He says, I do nothing. He says that I do nothing of myself, as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. I tell you, I wish I could tell you I have not ever gotten up and preached some sermons by myself. He never preached to one that way. Never preached to one that way. He said, I do nothing of myself. And he that sent me is with me. He that sent me is with me. Sound like dependence. He that sent me is with me, and the Father hath not left me alone. Sounds like, bless God, dependence. For I do always those things that please Him. Sounds like dwelling to me. Oh my, our Lord dwelled. Our Lord depended upon His Father. That's what the abiding life is. It's not a list of do's and don'ts you and I run down. No, no, no. It's simply obeying God, trusting God, and receiving from Him His life in and through us. Everybody wants to live in verse 3 of Psalm 1. Everybody wants to be that tree with those deep roots. Everybody wants to be that tree with those fruitful branches. Fruit always bearing, leaves never withering. Everybody wants to be, or most people want to be, I say. A lot of people want to be. Now I scratch all that mess. They just ain't really, a lot of people really interested in that, to be truthful. Let me get back where I was going. You don't get to be that fruitful tree. You don't get to have that fruit. You don't get to have those leaves that do not. You don't get to verse 3 unless you come through verse 1 and come through verse 2. Unless you walk the way He wants you to walk. Unless you live the way He wants you to live. And abide and meditate in the Word of God. You say, preacher, I thought you said it wasn't about doing. No, it's not about doing. It's about being what He wants you to be. Walking where you want it, where He wants you to walk. And doing, yes, doing what He wants you to do. But it's all about obeying, trusting, abiding in Him. It closed the sermon this way, but I can't get away from it. There's another truth in this chapter, in this passage. Another fixed truth. It's the detachment truth. I done told you yesterday what John 15:6 does not apply to and does not mean. Don't need to go back there and revisit. The detachment truth is fixed. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. Two things and I'm done, I promise. The detachment does not happen because of doing or not doing. That kind of stuff is where discipline comes in. Doing and not doing, that determines the discipline you and I receive as a branch. The detachment is not about because of doing versus not doing. The detachment deals with not abiding in the vine. There it is. If any man have not fruit, if any man have not much fruit, if any man abide not in me, he's cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned. If any man is not dependent upon me, yielded to me, trusting me, and receiving from me, that's what marks a man. That's what marks a branch for detachment. You know what? There's a length of time. It appears there's a length of time in verse 6. There's a length of time between the detachment and the withering and the gathering and the burning. And that time element causes a lot of folks to be fearful. I'll tell you, it's not the time element of John 15:6 that sobers me. It is the truth element of John 15:6. That I might cease to abide. That I might cease to trust Him as I ought to trust Him. That I might cease to yield to Him as I ought to yield to Him. That I might cease to receive from Him that which He has for me. Oh my, John 15:6, this detachment truth, it is an abiding truth. And it is a sobering truth. You can figure out the time element of it if you please. But it's just simply a sobering truth that it's possible to become a withered branch. It's possible to be a branch and be withered. I'll tell you, the only thing worse than not having fruit is to become a withered branch and to be cast away. And Paul said, oh, God forbid that I might become, having after preached to others, might become a castaway. I told the Lord on the way over this morning, oh, God, help me not just simply to preach to them. Lord, help me. God, Lord, don't let me preach to them and me not get it. Don't let me preach to them and me not be reminded. This thing's hinged on Him. This thing's hinged on Him. It's all dependent upon the good Lord of glory Himself. I'll tell you, it sobers me to think. Sobers me to think that it is possible that the end of my life, whenever that time may be, whether that day of judgment before the Lord For my works and abiding life of a branch may be, it sobers me to think that it's possible for me to be able to stand and me have to stand nothing but mostly ashes and a lot of burnt up leaves and not much fruit to present to the Master. As we stand with heads bowed, eyes closed, Brother Bobby, you come if you will. Told you this wasn't the same kind of message as we've looked at. I'm gonna tell you, we'll never get to the fruit or the more fruit or the much more fruit as we get these fixed truths in our lives. Hey, I ain't talking about just having a time in the Word. I'm talking about dwelling in the Word, dwelling in Him. I'm talking about yielding to His discipline. It's not pleasant. It's not pleasant. I know from my own heart. In fact, my own heart ached when Brother Rick was sharing how God was having to discipline and working his life. I know it so well. I know that discipline so well in my own life. Oh my, we're not careful though. Sometimes we will get mad at God. We will want to fight God. Oh God, help us to remember He's the husbandman. He's the Father. He cares for the vine and the branches. He's after fruit in your life and my life. Oh my, this morning could I ask you, are you abiding in Him? I'm not asking you this morning, are you saved? I'm not asking you this morning, are you saved? You may be here this morning and not be saved. Just because you're in Bible conference on a Wednesday morning doesn't mean you're in Christ, doesn't mean you're saved. But I'll tell you, you can be in Bible conference and you can be saved on a Wednesday morning and not be abiding, not yielded, trusting, relying upon Him. Fixed truths that cannot be altered. God help us to bow to them, that we might be able to say with David, it's been good that I've been afflicted, that I might know, that I might learn Thy law, that I might love Thy law, that I might bear fruit. Father, You know what needs to be done. Lord, if we'll abide in You simply, oh God, we can experience the sweetness of it. In Your name we pray. God's telling you to do something, you ought to be doing it while this family sings.
Abiding life, this abiding.